Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. Before I explain what we're going to do this evening, I just need to do the usual safety announcements. First of all, top priority, I guess, is if you need the toilets, out through the foyer, across to the other side. That's fairly straightforward. In the event of any other kind of emergency, there are the three green lights which show where the emergency exits are. If you could go through those, leaving all your possessions behind you, and gather outside in the car park. We don't expect that there'd be a problem, but just in case, there you are. Anyway, tonight, and what it's about tonight, we're going to say thank you to some of the great people who have helped to get the newly refurbished Open Blue bus onto the road. Then we're going to bring you a piece of cheese to go with the wine that you've got there. And afterwards, we'll introduce you to an absolutely brilliant band. Stay for coffee afterwards if you can. So, let's put it in context. I'm Dave Hawes. I'm the chair of Open Blue. And the closest we get to having a minister of Dayspring Church that runs these Cabaret Connection events. We've been doing these for the last 12 years now, long, long time. And three times a year, we welcome excellent music or comedy acts and provide space to tell stories of faith and have really interesting conversations that sort of lapse at the end and go on to the next time, and then we pick it up from there. So tonight we've got our regular audience. People who have been to Cabaret before can just wave a hand if you've been to Cabaret before at some time or another. Quite a few there, but quite a few haven't as well. We're so pleased that you're back again. We hope that you find it familiar enough to enjoy the evening. We know that lots of you have expressed interest in Open Blue and the bus and have taken the opportunity to see it tonight. We're also privileged to welcome the amazing stakeholders and supporters of Open Blue. We're incredibly grateful that you're involved with us. Literally, we couldn't do it without you. It's excellent to be in touch, and now the bus is on the road. We're looking forward to deepening relationships as we go along. We hope you'll want to be involved. We look forward to getting your advice. We value your encouragement and input as well. There's actually a third group here who deserve a special mention. It's a table of younger people right over there who are particularly here to hear the band. Thanks for coming, guys. I know that some of you are in conversation with Andy and with Sarah about the best possible ways that we have to deliver opportunity through Open Blue. We do rely on your advice and insights. We want to hear what you think as well. So, quick word about Open Blue, quick word about Dayspring first, to put it all in context. Somebody actually asked me tonight what the connection was and what the separation was between Dayspring Church and Open Blue. Dayspring is a little bit different from many churches, not a little bit different from the whole of global Christianity. We sort of fit well and comfortably in that. But because in step with many churches that have developed in the last generation, we don't have the advantages, and some of you will say the disadvantages, of having a worship centre. We use these buildings, which are absolutely great for us, and we've invested in a bus and a set of tables as well. I think that's probably about the extent of the kit that the church owns. But we are pretty conventional in many ways. We're part of the Calm Partnership of Churches, we're part of Chippenham Churches Together, and we're associated through our denomination with Churches Together in England and Britain and Ireland as well. So, as I said, we're comfortable to be in the mainstream of Christianity. But the important thing is that Dayspring while it's a major stakeholder in Open Blue, is not Open Blue. We've got four trustees, two are part of Dayspring and two are not. Professor Raph Marodi is not here tonight. He's rarely around. We have our meetings with him by Skype. He spends half his time at Edinburgh University and the other half conducting livestock research for the Gates Foundation across Africa. You've actually heard, probably, if you watch programmes like Country File or follow news broadcasts, about some of the work he's been doing. Bill Gates has been in the UK talking about it. As well as that, tonight, we have Terry Mills, who I happen to know because I can see in the dark, is sitting over here. There's Terry. Terry is from Carn Baptist Church and has done a great job over a number of years coordinating Open Blue bus work, bus youth work in Carn. And is Michelle here tonight? No, Michelle's not here. Michelle Thomas is connected with Dayspring, but is not really a Dayspring insider these days. And her professional contribution is that she has real experience of the Southwest and issues around affordable housing as well. So that's the mix. I'm the Dayspring insider. The others have other perspectives that they bring, and we're really grateful for that. The other thing about Open Blue is that we're quite clear that Open Blue is a faith-based organisation. Lots of faith-based organisations around that are inclusive and have volunteers and support people of all faiths and none. We like to say that, like many faith-based charities, our services aren't conditional. There's no requirement to be involved with religion in any way to get the services. That's important to say clearly and proudly. Over a couple of decades of trying to be politically correct, some funders have avoided faith-based organisations. We're really relieved it hasn't been all of them. But it's good to see there's been rather a turn to common sense recently, as a consensus has grown that, first of all, the churches in the UK are the largest source of volunteers. Churches are the largest source of volunteers. Many of the leanest and most effective charities are faith-based, and many, though by no means all of the agencies at the forefront of social transformation are inspired by religious values. Not all of them Christian, but all of them inclusive and effective. The story of the big blue bus Mark II, we've thought of all sorts of names for it, but really it's just the Mark II bus these days, is the story we want to tell you. And it's partly about commitment from great partners, some of whom are along here, who have supported us with funding. Great partners. But it's also the story of amazing hard work by excellent and expert volunteers. Some of you guys have got knowledge that immediately I am told about by Andy makes my eyes glaze over. And however hard I try, I can't understand all the words, let alone tell you what they mean. But it's also been the story of faith as well. Sometimes buoyant faith on very cold days and wet days, sometimes wavering faith as well. It's time to listen to the person who has made it happen. It's actually been 15 years since Open Blue started. So I'd like to welcome up here the director of Open Blue, the man who makes the wheels on the bus go round and round. So, show your love, give some space.
If you do that, Andy Williams, they would even sing it, I reckon. Don't let them do.
Shall we try?
No. Definitely not. Oh my goodness. I've thought long and hard about this and been doing some preparation, obviously, to talk to you tonight. And finally, I've come to, I have to get in a position in myself as to how I'm speaking and where I'm speaking from. And I feel like I am doing a father of the bride speech tonight. It's my baby is being given away to Wiltshire. And that's my baby out there. Of course, it's a lot of other people's baby as well, because all of you really, or most of you here tonight, have been involved in it in some way or other. And so, as we've thought about tonight, really we wanted to have a combination tonight of thanking you guys and also celebrating not just the launch of this bus, but also celebrating the work that's happened with the first bus that has really made a way forward for this second bus to happen. Now, Dave talked about it being called Mark 2. We did call, for those Star Wars fans, we called the first one, it was open blue, OB, so we called it OB1. And of course, you naturally thought Kenobi, but so we've just gone to OB2. Well, that's what happens on my files in the computer anyway, but Mark 2 is fine, it's OB2, or it's just a new bus. Let me just tell you a little bit about the story, really. And see if I can weave in some thanks to people who have been involved in the various stages. So my first thanks has to go to Dayspring, because in 2002 they initiated the project and they said, oh, we need somebody to do this, and I put myself forward and they sort of interviewed me in a way, and I went away with my tail between my legs and I didn't think I could do it really. And it took about 3 or 4 months where I went back and I said, oh, I think I can. And they said, oh, all right then. So we had a go at it. But they have basically, they funded the first bus conversion completely and we launched that bus. It's been different with the second bus. What's been amazing about it is that as the life of the first bus, as you can see there, we clearly wanted to say it was a rural bus. With the cows going in front, that was staged. It wasn't actually a real milking time or anything like that, but our first bus, what was I saying? I've forgotten what I was going to say now. got distracted by the cows there, I think so. As it got older and it needed to be sort of put out to grass, and by the way, just for those who are interested, which probably is nobody except me, it's gone off to Worcestershire to a little apple yard, and it's being a glamping bus, I think. It's been repainted a nice white or cream colour, and I don't know what they're doing with it now, but anyway, she must be enjoying the restful life out there. But as that came to an end, Green Square Housing Association, who had been, we'd been working with, going into social housing areas, all sorts of different places in Wiltshire, we were in conversation with them about it, and they said, oh, you know, we've got a chunk of money we could give you for your new bus. And when they told me how much it was, and I'm not going to tell people how much everybody's given tonight, but I sort of had to sit down, because they invested in the new bus really, really early on. And so I just want to say thank you to that. I know that Sue Matthews is here tonight. Is Jan here tonight, Sue? She's not being able to make it, but just if you could pass on our thanks to Green Square, because it has just been a massive, massive encouragement. And in fact, Sue continues to be an encouragement. We've been working with her this morning in Malmesbury, and she knows things that where things are in the bus more than I do already, which is sort of, that's a good thing, I think. So Green Square have done that. They've been working with us through that. The other group of people was a big surprise, Philippa and myself, Philippa and my wife down here, in another age, we were youth leaders in Cairn, and we've got a couple of people here tonight who were in our youth group. And they've got their own children who are in university and things like that, so you can get an idea of how old me and Philippa are. But Greg and Laura, Greg was particularly, about 3 years ago, was particularly involved in, I think, leading the Cairn bike meet, and he made it the focus that year for giving money to the bus, which is a huge lift as well. So thank you again, and please pass on our thanks. The other group of people that we've got involved with the first bus was the Army. And when we say the Army, we really mean 9 Regiment. because I know Wiltshire's involved with most of the British Army, but you have to go further south for that. And we got involved with 9 Regiment through a welfare officer who was coming to Dayspring many years ago now. And as we launched the first bus, she said, oh, it'd be really good to go to Wellington Place. And she said, we've got young mums who've just had a baby. They're from a different country. Their husband takes their car, if they've got one, to drive round to the base. And they're left in the middle of Wiltshire, in the middle of this estate, with nothing else but one bus service into Chippenham in the morning and one back in the afternoon, I think, if you were lucky. And surprise, surprise, they were getting a bit of postnatal depression. You know, what a surprise. And the welfare officer had identified this and said we could make a difference by taking the bus, so we did. And she was Welsh. Now, she had a way about her. I was explaining this to somebody the other day. She actually would, when we parked the bus up in Welly Place, she would say, oh, there's nobody here yet. And she just went around the doors and knock on the doors, get out to the bus, you. And she got away with it. I don't know how she got away with it, but she got away with it. And it was a huge success. We would have, on occasion at Welly Place, around the bus, we'd have 80 or 100 people, which we, as a, you know, were just sort of blown away by. So we've tried to serve the army, but they also have served us. After a few years of keeping the first bus up at Yatesbury in an old First World War wooden hangar, we moved up, we upgraded to a Second World War concrete hangar, and that was really good. The first one was a little bit damp inside because it hadn't got any grass on the top, but the second hangar was much drier, and that's been absolutely brilliant. In fact, this second bus could not be on the road without the help of 9 Regiment now, because they are the only people that have given us an opportunity to park it in a secure place. And so thank you very much, 9 Regiment. It's absolutely brilliant. As I go through this list, of course, every person or group that I say thank you to, we couldn't have done it without every time. Do you see what I mean? It's always the bottleneck, you know, that everybody has released something. The area boards. Jane Vaughan is the Carn area board officer. She was unable to be here today, and it was she had a wedding. I think her daughter was getting married, which, you know, there you go. It took priority. But she was absolutely brilliant because she helped me make a funding application to the Carn area board, the Chippenham Area Board and the Malmesbury Area Board for capital funding to help do the conversion to the bus. It's quite a nightmare trying to get through their forms to begin with. Once you get the hang of it, it's okay. So thank you to Jane, even though you're not here tonight. Thank you to the Carn Area Board for voting for the money. Thank you to Chippenham Area Board for voting for the money. And thank you to Malmesbury Area Board for voting for the money, because it has made a big difference, really, to actually us getting the bus converted. We've also got the area boards of Chippenham and Corsham have also given us money ahead of time to do some youth work in the rural areas. And that was a really big help, because when you're doing a project and you've got the conversion going, but you've got no money to run it when it's finished, that's quite worrying. So thank you to those guys too. Carn Lions, Rachel Viles, where are I can't, it's very difficult to see, where are you guys? Round there we go, Rachel and Phil. They've been so supportive. We're still using Phil's circular saw. Thank you, Phil. I think Bob sorted it out for you, and then we're still using it. We still got it. We'll let you have it back one day. But thank you guys for that. They've particularly put money into the disabled access, which was really quite a problem on the first bus, but we think we've done it a lot better this time. Just going to check that I haven't forgotten anybody there. Right. Now, we've not really been into dealing with schools very much for quite a long time. I did some work with the first bus in schools, but about 3 years ago, St. Mary's School in Carn wanted to support the bus and the conversion. And they gave us an enormous amount of money, really, for what they did. Okay, they donated the proceeds of the sales from Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm not really even sure. I think I know what a Krispy Kreme donut is, all right? But I didn't know how expensive they were, or maybe how many they actually, you know, people actually ate. I mean, because they gave us a huge amount of money. Four figures, and that's the closest I'm going to go. But out of donuts, it was just incredible. I've tried very, very hard to get them to come tonight, and they're teachers and students, and they're probably doing something else, and I haven't really quite got through to them. I tried very hard to get Karen Paddock to be here tonight to say thank you to them. Really would quite like to, you know, let them see the bus and let the students see the bus and so on. Now, there are some other people I'm just going to reel through, but they're not as they're still just as important. There's John and Sally Reese from the Fulmer Trust here tonight. Thank you for your money that you gave quite early on, actually, in the process of us doing the conversion. It really helped. There was David and Claire Brown, who are not able to be here tonight, from OpenIT, and also for Jenny Holt, who is from Taste Wiltshire. Now, the next one, I don't know how you will see the link, but the Chippenham Town Band gave us money for the bus. Now, I don't know, I do know the link. It's through Richard, who plays in the band, but they gave us some money as well, as did Carn Christian Events, the Carn Parish Church, and also one of the people in Dayspring actually was really into, was it cycling or walking? I can't remember. Beat the Street. For those of you that remember Beat the Street about 2 or 3 years ago, we, I think we came second and we got...
We came first.
I've forgotten that. First. I don't know how we did that. That was Louise. Thank you, Louise. And also, Wiltshire Community... This is the last one. Wiltshire Community Foundation have been a solid supporter of Open Blue, so that even last year, when we hadn't finished the conversion, we applied to them for money to go to the traveller site at Thingley, which is a council traveller site. They're just basically out in a field. So they are prime sort of people for us to, you know, for the bus, really. And the Wiltshire Community Foundation said, well, we'll give you money for a year. And if you're still going after a year, we'll give you another year. And if you're still going then, we'll give you another year. So they've given us 3 years of funding, you know, staged, obviously. But that really shows some confidence, and I'm very happy about that. So, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think that's the father of the bride speech bit over with. Isn't it? I don't know how I'm doing for time, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of history about the bus and how it's, and the project and what we're about, really. First bus started in 2003. You'll see a picture of it there. That's actually at Wellington Place. That's Ganga Rai. She's from Nepal, and there's an Indian lady in the back. There's a whole range of different foreign nationals who come and work with the army. The Gurkhas have now moved to Aldershot, but I'm hopeful that they move back at some time. They are absolutely great people, really supportive. The bus has been to most corners of Wiltshire, but I'm not going to tell you, well, I'll tell you where the important bits are for me. It's been up as far north as Mynty, okay? It's been over to the east as far as Upavon. It's been to Rudlow. It's been to Great Cheverel. And I've deliberately given you villages or small communities because that's what the bus is about. I haven't said Salisbury, although we did go there, but not last week. Okay. we are looking at going down to Salisbury later this year, I think, to visit a traveller site there, but that's not been confirmed yet. But really, I'm not talking about the big towns and stuff, because that's not really what the bus is about. It's about out-of-town estates or villages or parts of villages, like Laycock. I always told the people at Laycock, we didn't go to the Harry Potter bit of Laycock, by the way. I always call it the Harry Potter bit, you know why. But Laycock is a brilliant village to explain things because it's three villages in one. It's got the A350, it's got a river, and it's got Harry Potter Laycock in the middle. It's got Bowden Hill on the other side of the river, and it's got the Whitehall Garden Centre and the Corsham Road Estate on the other, going towards Corsham, obviously, Corsham Road. And communities get chopped up by geographical things. I mean, the army Wellington Place, the airfield chops Welly Place away from the main base. It's one of those things that happens. It's noted in social research, shall we say, that they found that out. People don't tend to cross the boundaries very easily. We began really with wanting to serve the County of Wiltshire. We are Christians, but we wanted to serve the County of Wiltshire without, you know, any sort of limit really as to who we would want to serve. You know, it's just anybody and everybody. I say 0 to 90 really, but Betty got to be over 90, so I have to say 0 to 99 now, as anybody can come on the bus. But we began with something. We saw this report. It was called Beyond the Bus Shelter, and it was commissioned by the YWCA, and it was focusing on young women sort of between the ages of 15 to 17 really, and the fact that there was virtually nothing for them in the rural areas. And they had a whole range of different things, and Carn and the surrounding area was part of the research. So it was really, really key for us. And one of the key phrases that came out was that there are pockets of deprivation in the wealthy West, and that's what we wanted to sort of really try and help. Now, we didn't want to tell people that we were coming because they were deprived, and you don't ever do that, and you don't really do that on the day or anything like that. But it was a real help to us to read this report and say, yeah, you can do something and make a difference. And they were saying that transport was the issue, you know, getting to service provision, and we realised that we could take service provision to them, and so that's what we wanted to do. We combat loneliness now, I think. Loneliness, I've just read this report just recently, it absolutely gobsmacked me really. I don't know quite how you do the research to find this out, but apparently loneliness has a similar effect on our health to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Now, how did somebody work that out? I have no idea. But it doesn't just affect your physical health, but it affects your mental health as well. And we've seen, even this morning, in fact, just going up to Malmesbury, we went up to the new build, Fylands, and as people were getting off, Sue was telling me, she said, well, so-and-so has just met so-and-so. They actually live above one another in flats, and they've just chatted, and they've got the name. So, oh yes, they know each other, they've seen each other, but they've just had a conversation. And that's really what it's all about. And it's what we've done at Welly Place. Mums come in, they've got families. Husband goes out, it's not always like this because some of the wives or the women now are soldiers as well, but generally speaking, you know, one of them goes off and the other one has to be at home with the kids and stuff like that, and you don't know anybody. And our aim is to just make people make friends, and then community spirit begins to build. And the way we do it is that we take a building on wheels, it's like that one out there, and we have some cheerful volunteers, and we do normal things like we play, we chat, and we have a cup of tea. It's not rocket science, but it takes quite a lot of effort to get there. The bus has also been described as a bridge into communities, because some communities are quite hard to reach. And actually, the Thingley Traveller site is a case in point. I can't go into sort of details about that, but you can imagine that they keep themselves to themselves, and various agencies that would like to speak to them and talk to them and help them find it quite difficult, and the bus has just been that bridge, because of course we're travelling, aren't we? You know, we're like travellers already, and they like to see our trailer, well, our bus, because it's like their trailer, and there's a whole immediate connection with that, and we talk about engines and generators and stuff like that, and they seem to be quite interested. Now, there's one group of people that I've forgotten to, well, I haven't forgotten to thank, but it's this group of people that have been actually actively involved in the physical conversion of this new bus. And I'd like you just to stand up because, well, don't you yet? Hang on. Because these guys and ladies don't normally like to get in the limelight. They've given their time and their energy over a period of time, but they don't really like to be in the limelight. But I'm afraid that tonight, you have to be, just for about 30 seconds. So if you had any part in even rubbing down just a little bit of paint, Anna, or quite a lot of paint, or doing whatever you've done, would you just stand up? Because I'd just like everybody to see who it is that's actually taking part in this conversion, because it's been over 20 months. Come on, guys. I'm just, I'm just checking there's nobody still sitting down who should be. Right. Can I, before you sit down, hang on. I know the bus took longer than it was supposed to take. I said a year, and I thought I was being, thought it was going to be shorter than that, and it wasn't. It was 20 months. But these guys have put in well over 3,000 volunteer hours into that bus out there. It's absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much. You can sit down now. If you want to look at our Facebook page, we've got the one that got the most hits was the one that Andy Murray did, where the sign on the front of the bus says Open Blue tonight, but he put up, we're all going on a summer holiday. And then the next line of the song, oh, no more working for a week or two. And I took photos of each line and I put them all up on Facebook, and we had over 1,000 people see that, I think it was. So thank you, Andy. Okay. The first bus was basically Dayspring, and we had a volunteer group based from Dayspring, but things quickly grew over the time. It's got wider and wider, and as I've prepared for tonight's talk like this, I began to tot up all the people that have been involved in this second bus, and it is just, I've just been blown away by it, really. You are a huge team, and you've developed, and we just, well, I just say a big thank you, because I know that I'm standing here saying this, but I've said tonight to people, they said, oh, you've done a great job on the bus, and I've said, well, actually, to be fair, I haven't done that much. I've ordered people around, told them what I've wanted, but they've done the stuff. And in fact, when I went away last summer, I was a bit concerned about what it might look like when I got back, but no, I wasn't really, but I was absolutely blown away by the fact that all the carpeting had been completed to a fabulous standard by the guys at the time, and other stuff that they just got on with while I'd been away. Brilliant. I've got some pictures. That's what the bus looked like when we first got it. Okay. Thank you, Paul. And a big thank you now to Chris and Helly Franklin, who run the Cane Hill Countryside Centre. Don't tell anybody, please. Just, they like to keep it, they're humble people and they like to keep it quiet. They actually had a bus in their countryside centre, because really they have animals, but they found a space. We had to make the space bigger, higher, to get the bus in there, and they gave us that. And I said it would be a year, and I asked him, and he said, well, you could be there for a year, but no longer, because, you know, we'll need the space, 20 months. But they were very patient with us. Next one, that's, I like that picture because I'm standing next to a soldier, really. I quite like that. That's Dan, apparently. He just told us his name was Dan. But that's when we first parked the bus up at 9 Regiment. Next one, these guys are from Welly Place. Next one, don't know where that is. She's having a lovely time. Next, this is at Laycock. That was the residence cafe, older people. It's not all children and families, by the way. We do, as I say, 0 to 99. Next, and we do cooking. Big thing we found, actually, with the bus was we thought IT and computers was going to be the thing, but cooking was the thing that everybody loves. That I know that's, again, at Welly Place, because there's some Nepalis there. That's at the Traveller site. They're doing knitting. Leonard on the right there, it's quite an old photo there. He's now a dad. Young chap's about 23 now, I think. So that's at Lackham. We went to the students at Lackham. The residential students didn't have anything in the evenings. Next one, it's a bit more cooking. You can see it gets messy, but it's great, isn't it? That's Karen Vergatini, one of our play worker who drove the bus as well on the second bus. Next, that's back at Lackham, I think, as well. Just that's the residence cafe, and is it the last picture now? No, not yet. Oh, we have artists come on board. That's in clay and then been painted and fired. You see, I'd like to think that that guy was actually 9 Regiment chap, but I don't think he is. I'm not quite sure which community he was in, but he was trying to be somewhere. And, you know, we just do all sorts of things like that. There's one last picture I'm looking for. Where has it got to? Keep going, Paul. Ah. To me, this is the end of my talk. This guy, I could get emotional at this point, because this guy sums up Open Blue to me. He lives out in the sticks somewhere. I can't remember where he lives. He's got absolutely caked in paint, hasn't he? Right up, look, it's all over his forehead. How has he done that? And he's just looking that little lost boy thing a bit, but not too much. He's had a bit of a good time. He's probably a bit tired, actually, having had all of that stuff going on. And I think that sums up Open Blue, where we actually reach out into the communities and just let people know that they're not forgotten, really. Let them know they're not forgotten. So, just make sure that I haven't forgotten anybody. No, I don't think I have, unless somebody can correct me. All right, okay. Thank you. No, it's okay. Thank you for your time. I really hope you enjoy the rest of the evening. The celebration goes on with the band. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Dave.